Okay, well, in our, just for a quick review before we get into that part of it, so when we've looked at these books, and Rocky's already mentioned some of it in our prayer, in his prayer he led us in, we saw the idea of what's the first three chapters? What did it discuss there?
Spiritual blessings in Christ.
Okay, the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And then Rock even mentioned, therefore what? What does chapter 4:1 start with?
Walk.
Okay, our walk. So based on what we've seen in chapters 1 through 3, we see these unfathomable riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And knowing of this and being reminded of this should cause us to walk in a certain manner. Now, in this book, who was this written to?
Ephesians.
Okay, the Ephesians, and they were Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that tells us right there that even as Christians, we need to be reminded of things. Then last week, I believe we looked at the idea of unity. We looked at some of the ways that we should and shouldn't walk, or no, that's where we're starting today. We looked at what Jesus, where it says in chapter 4:11, it says He gave. So we looked at some of the things that were given to help us be equipped and become a mature man. So we see that the things in this word can be used, and we also saw that they can be understood. So we can use these things to see how it is that we should live our life so we can do this walk that we're looking at. I think we looked at this in 17 through 32. I think this is pretty much where we ended. Chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. I asked the question of what is being spoken of in this chapter. So, or in this section of that chapter, we see the idea of what there has to do with their living. Okay, a Christian's walk. So we see through that chapter, we see either how they're supposed to walk, or you see a lot of where it says walk no longer. So we see the idea of a change of life and a way that as a Christian we're expected to live.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes when you ask these questions, I usually, just on a personal thing, that I usually try to pick out verses, you know, in the text that highlight what the thing is about.
Okay.
In this section here, I think verses 22 and 24 kind of summarize this text. In 22, you put off or you lay aside the old self.
Yes, sir.
And you put on the new.
Right.
You got the contrast. Things we're supposed to put off, things we're supposed to put on. So, really, like I said, I like to pick out the verses that kind of describe what these verses are about.
That's a very good point, because, yeah, right there we see that. We see to put off, and we know that the putting off is the former life, and then we put on this new life based on our attitude and the new situation that we're in. Yes, sir.
Well, I was making an observation. I was thinking it's kind of interesting how that if we were doing, we'd probably say, don't do this and do this. But the Spirit says, let, over and over we see, it says, let all bitterness, you know. Let no unwholesome. You know, it's like, that's a good way to approach it.
Okay. Well, but we do see some do's and do nots in there.
So.
Okay.
But I think that by using that approach, I think it's a good approach. Let it be this way, let it be that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what should this teach us? Some of the things when we looking at this section, and this how we should walk no longer and should walk now. What?
It's supposed to be a special people set apart. We're supposed to set ourselves apart by the way we live, by the way we walk. It sets us apart from other people, you know, because of our service to God, because of our love of God.
So how are we going to? What's going to be the key thing in order for us to be set apart? Is it our attitude?
Love.
Okay. Love. Okay.
Brings out the attitude.
Okay. So
verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." That kind of encapsulates the attitude we're supposed to have.
Right. Right. So we're going to see.
Back up to chapter 4, verse 1, the beginning of that section. Talks about verse 2, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance with one another in love.
Mm-hmm.
So between those two, it tells you how to achieve those things.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to have to do these things, and that's going to
our walk.
Right. It has to do with our walk. Now, if we don't have the right attitude towards wanting to do this, we're not going to do either of these. So, I mean, I agree, those are good points. I was just thinking that, you know, it's going to have to do with our attitude, what we're willing to do. And because, you know, we have choice. And if our attitude's not right, then that's a choice too. But we see these good things we have here. In chapter, are there any other comments or thoughts? Or
we didn't know anything. We're having knowledge, is still application. That's
yes, sir.
Part with, and something with. But like I said, with proper attitude, we should apply it, but it should be applied.
Yes, sir. Yeah, because we can know these things, and that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do anything about it. And that's why I'm really impressed on the first three chapters, because verse after verse after verse, it is explaining the things that God has done what God has done for us through Christ. And we just see it over and over, different usage of wordage, but that's why we see all this through Christ, in Christ. Really building upon something that as Christians, we already know. But like we looked at the other day, this idea of remembering. Remembering doesn't always mean that we forgot. Remembering means
calling you back to that.
Yeah, right. And it to
renewing.
Well, it's a renewing in our attitude and remembering what was done. And remember, to me, when we looked at the idea in James, is not just remembering, but remembering in a sense that causes action. Because the one that was mentioned of not remembering, it seems that because of the way they do things, you would think that they don't remember. So that's kind of the way I look at this idea of remembering. It's not necessarily that we, because like we spoke of last time, the Lord's Supper, when we partake of that, it says do this in remembrance of me. It's not because we forgot who Christ is. I mean, we're all here this morning. It's because of our attitude and dwelling upon what was done in a sense that is going to cause us to reflect on our life and live a life that shows we understand what He did. So, any other thoughts or comments? Okay. In chapter 5, we'll go to chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, 1, it begins, therefore. And we'll kind of end, let's back up in 30, chapter 4, 32. It ends with where Gary had just spoken of, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So, that attitude that we ought to have. So, after looking at that, then it goes into chapter 5 and starts off, therefore. So, it's telling us, because of this, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. In verse 3, then it goes in, but immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. So it starts at this point talking about things or characteristics that we shouldn't have. And then in verse 7, again, we see this, therefore, do not be partakers, or do not be. We see words like therefore and verse 8, for. So it's giving us reasons or things that we shouldn't do. It's explaining things. And then in verse 8, it says for, and explains to us why. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Continuing on some of these ideas, continuing on how we should or shouldn't walk or live our lives, it gets into some specific relationships that we see here. In verse 22, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then also in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. So it gets into some specific relationships. Now, what does Paul say that the wife should do? Because that's some of the things we looked at. Because of what we know, and this, now we're talking about our walk, that has to do with doing. So what does Paul say the wife should do in this section?
Yield to the husband.
Okay. Subject to their husbands. And then it even goes into detail. We see this idea. It uses the term as to the Lord. Okay. So as to the Lord. And even some more explanation in 23 and following. Now, on the contrast, what does Paul say the husband should do? Okay, husbands, love your wife. And again, we see it too does some detail as far as just as. We see the idea here also, just as Christ also loved the church. And then it goes into some more explanation also, and says that, and gave himself up for her. You had a comment in this?
He uses two different words, you know, wife, subject, and husband, love. But I think there's a word we could tie that would fit in both of them, would be respect. Okay. And you ought to show respect for wives, which is in verse 33. But, for the wives, the husband would show love and show respect, and the wives would show subject and show respect to the husband.
Okay. And because really when we look into this more, doing these things has to do with love, doesn't it? Number one, love for God, doing what He's said. But we understand that all these things that God's provided us knowledge with, it's for our benefit. I mean, because these are things He is all knowledgeable. We could rack our brains and try to do studies and try to figure all this out. He's given us the answers right here. So if we'll do what He expects us to do, He's provided us a way to have a good relationship, possibly. We'll see some more about that. I mean, because if we're both doing what we're supposed to do, then that will be the benefit.
We've done his part. He's doing. He's given us the way. He shows us the way. It's up to us to follow it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I put a question on there, and I want to make sure you understood what I meant by the question. I'd say, is this conditional? And what I mean is, when it says, wives, do this, husbands, do this, is this conditional on me as a husband? I'm only going to do this if my wife does what she does supposed to do? No.
It's a command.
It's a command, okay. So it's not conditional. There's no if clause. It doesn't say, you know, wives do this if your husband does what he's supposed to do. And it doesn't say husbands do this if your wife is submissive. This is specific to the individual. Husbands do. Wives do. So it's specific to the individual. Yes.
One of the common things you see in the two verses is verse 22, wife be subject to her husband as to the Lord. And then verse 25, husbands love your wives just as Christ loves you. So it's that common thing between the two. And if you look over in Philippians chapter 2, it gives a good description of Christ and what he did. And verses 3 through 5 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, humility and of mind, that each of you regard one another more important than himself, and not only look after your own personal interests, but also have this attitude of yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. Okay. So that attitude should cover the wife being subject with this attitude, with this kind of mind, the husband loving the wife with this same kind of mind. And that leads to unity and working together and all the blessings that come with it.
Right, so we can see how these chapters kind of build upon each other. Because after we're talking about some of the unity, and then we see some of the different ways that we're supposed to handle specific relationships. And I think that's a good point that you bring up, because we do see that. This comparison after it tells us what we should do as individual, whatever our relationship is, if we're the wife or we're the husband, after it tells us what we should do, both places do explain that as Christ did. So we have an example before us. And when we think about this love, what it calls us to do, it's really not trying to think of the best way to put it. Not as tough of a task as what was done for us. So, and we do have that example. Good point.
Also, one other thing. You know, in verse 22, that be subject has been added based on verse 21.
Right.
Be subject to one another. So it's when it says, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. Wives, to your husbands. That describes the rule of Adam and says, husbands, love your wives. Just as so, it's not just singular as far as necessarily the wives being subject. The husbands also subject themselves to the wife based on the love as Christ is willing to give himself.
Right. His attitude on the way, because the way that he treats her, and I mean, there's certain things that are expected. Yes, sir.
Actually talking about the church and his love for the church, and just like he gave himself to the church and all, husband ought to do that for the wife. You know, we ought to consider her like Christ considers the church.
Yes, sir, I agree. Because we see at the last two verses of this, I mean, although throughout this big section it's saying husbands and wife, and then it explains that actually it's talking about the church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Any other thoughts or comments? No? Okay. So after speaking about Christ loved the church, it says in verse 28, so husbands also So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. So, just as Christ loved the church, we too ought to love. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. So we see all of this idea of what we ought to do. So then, I pose the question, so then, is it important that I treat my wife in this way? Okay. Yes. Yes, it's very important. Actually, even in 1 Peter 3, we can turn over there for just a second. It's a similar passage.
1 Peter 3:7.
Has a similar passage there. Is that what y'all put on there? Mm-hmm. Good job. Yeah, 1 Peter 3:7. So we see this, how important that this is. What does it tell us in this chapter? Okay, let me read it. 3:7, you husbands in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So that was the point I was looking to right here. So what does that mean? If I don't treat her right, I'm just going to lose the benefit of prayer, lose the benefit of praying to God?
Relationship.
Okay, so it's really telling us about that relationship total. So it's talking about the condition or the state at that point that we'll be with God. So we would be without at that point. So wives do, husbands do. So that tells us this is very important. This is a very important thing in our life. Sir?
More than one way,
yes. Well, can you explain? Do you mean in the sense that, because number one, if we're doing what we're supposed to, we're pleasing God.
Right.
And that's most important. Right. But also, if we're doing what we're supposed to, it's going to be a lot nicer at the house. Yes, sir. Harmony in the family. That's a good way to put it.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So, God created it to be good.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you follow Him, it will be good.
Right. So He's the designer of this relationship. So let's not listen to what He said. Let's pick up this book of someone that wrote about it or whatever. I'm just saying that because that's what some people do. Instead of going to the designer of the relationship and seeing what He says about the things that we do, people tend to turn to other places or advice. And advice in itself isn't bad, but you've got to see where that advice is based on and where it comes from. So, goodbye. Yes, sir.
Another way to answer this question, you know, is it important that I treat my wife this way? I think anything you find in chapters 4, 5, and 6, it all goes back to where we started, what these chapters are about. And that is to walk worthy.
Yes, sir.
So you're not doing these things, you're not walking worthy.
Yes.
And if you're not walking worthy, then that reflects, then that ties back to the spiritual blessings. Well, aren't you appreciative of what Christ has done for you, all the spiritual blessings, which should motivate us to do these things. So then it also then reflects upon our lack of thanksgiving on what we've been provided by God for all the spiritual blessings. So important to do these things that we have in chapters 4 through 6.
Yes, sir. Good point, bro. Any other thoughts or comments?
He didn't say love your wife, but she wouldn't love him,
right?
Right. You know,
right.
Or vice versa.
Right. Yeah. So there's no conditions on it. It's still.
I had that.
Yeah.
You're reading my mind.
He's almost threw something at you.
I'm hoping not.
Well, I think Steve's often pointed out, you know, that it's not about, you know, the husband might say, well, I would love her more if she, you know, would be more sick for me. So it's individual responsibility.
Yes, ma'am.
That. You can't make someone love you or make someone be in submission to you. It has to be individual.
Yes, ma'am. That's a very good point. Can't make them do this. This is stuff that they're going to, it's a decision that they have to make on their own. And it all falls back to, like Rocky just said, where this book starts with. So, very good points. Any other thoughts or comments? Or no? And I had a note here, but I don't really need to do it now. The very thing that Mr. Crane pointed out, I wanted to make sure that we understood that in verses 32 and 33, where it does refer, that it's just saying that, well, I'll go ahead and read it. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. But nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must be, or must see to it, that she respects her husband. There wasn't supposed to be an S on there. That was an error on my speech. That wasn't in the text. Okay. So, any other thoughts or comments on that chapter before we go into chapter 6? No? Okay. Well, let's look at chapter 6 then. So, again, we see this idea of duty out of or in connection with our relationship to another. I'm going to read verses 2 through 9. Well, let me start at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as man pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So I just wanted to read that before we get into this. We see these ideas of duties towards others and what our attitude in that should be. I put list to our duty as to and what they are. Now in verse 1, what's being spoken of here? Or who's it speaking to here?
Children.
Okay, so what's the children's attitude supposed to be?
Obedience.
Obedience, okay. It says, children, obey your parents. Okay, so we see this attitude of obedience.
Don't play on that railroad track.
Sir?
Don't play on that railroad track.
I think it's talking about more than that, but... And then in verse 4, it goes into another relationship. It's talking about fathers. It says, fathers, do not. What's it say fathers aren't to do? Okay, not to provoke their children, but then it says, do. Okay, so we're supposed to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What about verse 5? What relationship there is it talking about?
Master-slave.
Slaves? Okay. Okay. So, well, specifically in 5, it's talking about slaves. Mm-hmm. And it tells us that slaves are to be. It says to be obedient to those who are your master, and explains how they should do this. And in verse 9 we see the flip side of that, what the master's attitude should be. It says masters do. Masters do the same things to them, the way you treat them, and give up threatening. So this idea of how they're supposed to treat them, and then they even explains that okay, hey, yeah, you're the master, but you too have a master. So it goes into explanation of that. Any comments or thoughts on this section?
That's interesting that the way this saved is approached in here, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity for the Holy Spirit to talk about how slavery is such sin, terrible, and should never have it, do away with it. I was, but you don't see it as different than the way, you know, men see things and the way God sees things.
So the way that it is approached, it's basically, it says, okay, this is a fact.
Yes.
Okay, this is a fact. What starts out children and fathers, this is a fact. This relationship. And then slaves and master, this is a fact. And, but it says, even though, okay, you're a slave, but this is the way your attitude needs to be.
Man, you know, God deals with something this way, but man comes along and tries to make it different. Tries to go even more so, or make it. You know, I mean, it's interesting to see how the difference in the way man approaches things,
right,
and life, the way God approaches things.
Right. And man, the way they approach things, this is
real radical.
Well, and not just that. This is past, after the things have already been happened.
It's still looking at it and seeing how things have ever been.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Going once?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I put the question on here, is it important that we do this? Because again, it goes back to, these are commands.
Our spiritual security depends on it.
Okay, so these are commands. These are things we're expected to do.
Just say if you want to.
Right.
If you feel like it,
huh? Well, in a sense, there is that if you feel like it. But not really. But I mean, that depends on if you either are a follower of Christ or you're not. So
you want to serve the concept.
Right.
But in fairness, it can be very difficult. It can be a very difficult situation.
Oh, yeah.
It can be very hard to do that.
Well, I think that's why it's brought up. Because it was a difficulty. And all of these things that we're reminded of, these are things that are reality. And they are things, it doesn't necessarily say any of this is going to be easy, because even going back to the husband and wife relationship, that's not always going to be an easy task. Each of our mates are different. And this isn't always going to be an easy task necessarily. But that doesn't change the fact that we're expected to do whatever our relationship is to this other, we're expected to do. You know, as the wife or as the husband, and then it goes into as the child or as the parent. Specifically in this point, it's the father, but we know other verses that you can see the idea, a parent-child relationship, slave-master. You could think of the boss, worker, whatever. You know, there's different relationships that we're in and specific ways that we're to handle it, or a certain way of thinking that we're supposed to have.
Right.
So, yes, sir.
It's interesting. We have all these relationships being discussed. Here these are written to a church that's been around for many years, written to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You think that would be the last thing that Paul would be addressing to a bunch of Christians in the church.
Right.
And that kind of gets back to, you know, what we talked about earlier about remembering.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as Christians need to hear these things and reflect upon a relationship. And it would be, I think, an error on our part to say, well, look, I've been in this relationship and doing okay. You know, we need to look at ourselves and what we're doing as the Word has it. To, you know, look at the mirror and look at it clearly. And look at ourselves. And
self-examination,
Really, that's what Paul did here, I think, you know.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a comment, Mr. Crane? Your responsibility is not necessarily based upon your attitude of the other person.
Right, yeah, because it what it's telling us here is what our attitude needs to be, huh? Yes, sir. Any other thoughts or comments? No? He's looking over here, Gary. I was just checking. Alrighty. So, yes, it is important. Now, keep in mind, although it does not say it, remember that, like we looked at in the husband and wife relationship, that these two are instructions on how we should handle specific relationships. And these are just as important as the other relationships, because these are all things that we're commanded to do, and failure to do so is going to have consequences. Now, thinking about previous chapters, what should cause me to want to do these things? And that kind of goes back to some of the comments that y'all have brought up. This all goes back to where we started in Ephesians. Because of God's love for us and what He's done for us. Because of Jesus' love and what He has done for us. And also because of the love of the Holy Spirit and what's been done for us. Because we see that these things here were the Word of God, was the Holy Spirit was with the or guiding the hands of the apostles and prophets. So we know that these things we have, this book before us, is from God, and it's to be used as such, knowing that what this tells us to do are things that we ought to do. So what should our knowledge of these things cause us to do? And then that's when it went into therefore walk. We shouldn't walk this way just because this is God's will. Now, hang on, this is not but. But. Let me get to the but part here. But because our knowledge of this should cause us to want to walk or to serve and to please such a loving God. So yes, we should do this because God expects us to. But even greater than that if our attitude is right, knowing of these things, this is going to cause us to want to show our love through obedience to Him. Any thoughts or comments? We've got just a couple minutes.
Looking overall, the walk we talked about, the manner of life, and then he lays out the different relationships that are in this walk or this manner of life. The Jew and Gentile,
mm-hmm.
and that was a very strained relationship. You know, the separation between the two, not just the law of Moses, but their society, they were separate.
Mm-hmm.
They looked down, the Jews looked down upon the Gentiles. Then you had the husband and wife, the child and parent, the slave and master, all of these different relationships and how we conduct ourselves in those relationships. And it all goes back to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you go back to the first chapter with the blessings in Christ.
Yes, sir.
So it's kind of pulls it all together. You can start thinking about how the whole book fits together.
Yes.
So
Any other thoughts or comments? Or no? Okay, well, for our next class, just go ahead and read ahead a couple of pages, because that's usually about what we've been covering. So we'll stop right here. And that should get us ready for...